know that. Our faith does overcome the world. That's 1 John chapter 5 and verse 4. Our confidence in God overcomes everything. Not, I don't mean the world as in, you know, the planet we live on. I mean the world as in the system that we live in. There's a lot. Now, let's just go ahead and dive right into this tonight. There's a lot of push right now. A lot of push with negative information, controlling information, depressing information, aggravating information, a lot of push to tell you that there's shortage, that things are bad and getting worse. And then you have helpful souls that say, oh man, we are completely lost. Not yet. And no, we are not. And if you're a believer in blood covenant with God, you have every right to expect that things are going to keep going well for you and keep getting better for you. Because God wants to use you as a beacon of light. God wants to use you as an example of his goodness. We have this in Ephesians chapter 2, verses 5 through 10, and even on into verse 12, that God, throughout the ages to come, wants to show us the exceeding riches of his goodness. Those ages to come are right now. Those ages to come starting are what's the... God wants to start those ages to come in your life today. So, let's listen to see what God has to say about some things. And you know what? Let's just talk frankly. There's a lot of push of things trying to control where your source of supply is. Whether it's a job, whether it's the government, whether it's a family member, inheritance, could be any one of a number of things. But there's only one thing that's going to be reliable. And I want you also to hear the word reliable, safe. Safe. I want you to hear these words from the words of from God to Joshua in Joshua chapter 1. These are words from God. And no scriptures of any private interpretation. That means that God is saying them not only to Joshua, but he's saying them to us. Look at what he says in Joshua chapter 1 and verse 5. This is God speaking. This is our best friend speaking. There shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. I will not fail thee, nor forsake thee. I will not fail. That sounds like God's made up his mind. He's made a decision that he's never going to fail you or I, and he's never going to forsake us. That means abandon us. That means when the chips are down, God doesn't cut and run. That means he's reliable. The New Testament refers to him not failing us nor forsaking us by this word, faithful. He's faithful. He is worthy to be full of our faith. Faithful, he's trustworthy. He's reliable. Amen. So he says that I will not fail you nor forsake you. Man, you can take a deep sigh of relief just hearing that. I will not fail you nor forsake you. And look at the first part. There shall not any man be able to stand before you all the days of your life. No man or woman or group of people can impede your progress with God. No one can keep you down. No one can hold you back. No one can stop your success and growth. How about this? No one can hold back you completing God's plan for your life. There may be many oppositions that come to your ministry. Look at Paul's life. But he said this, out of them all, the Lord delivered me. Oh, out of all of them, God got me out. Not just got me out, delivered. Out of all of them, he helped me walk tall over top of them as a winner. Now hear that. We don't just escape by the hair of our chinny chin chin. We win in style. God just lays the victory into our lap and just says, here, take my trophy, it's yours. What? He gives us the Super Bowl ring that he won. What? Yeah, absolutely. Amen. And we're going to look at how to do that. Now, I knew that I needed to really dig in to studying about God being my source. What do you mean source? God being the one where I get everything from. God being the person that I go to for my help and my supply and my prosperity. And God being the one I'm looking to trust to pay my bills. Now, sure, I still do the work that God brings me and work the vocation that he has me in, both in ministry and as a freelance designer. Sure. But I trust him for it all. I don't let myself, now I'm getting ahead of myself, but I don't let myself get tied via trust. I don't have a mental thought of relief for a check coming in. And it'd be very easy. Oh, I have this job lined up, or I have this person I'm working with, and this money. No. It's very easy to do that. But it's also just as simple as a choice to say, no, they're not my source. God's my source. Well, I was starting out from scratch, you know. I didn't know how to do any of this. I didn't know these scriptures. I didn't, I had heard of them, but I wasn't digging into them like I am now. And I said, God, I need help. And I began to look around. I couldn't find resources on making God your source. I found one CD from like about 25 years ago and a couple other things, and that was it. And I was like really, I was like, God, am I just not looking in the right place? I was really kind of concerned. I'm like, man, where is it all? And he told me frankly, he said, there isn't much. There isn't much. And that really made me go, huh. And it actually, you know what? It actually helped me. And I know it's going to help you too. And here's how. It made me go to him and began to let him teach me. You know, the Holy Spirit, John chapter 14, verse 26, that says when the Comforter has come, the Holy Spirit that Jesus will send, he will teach us all things. And bring all things to our remembrance that Jesus has said to us. So, and that in John 16, 13, that he would guide us into all truth. Well, he's the Spirit of truth. So I had to let him, not had to, I didn't have anybody else to turn to. So I looked to him and he began to help me. And, you know, I was involved with a daily Bible reading, chapter reading with a ministry that I support and follow out in Missouri. And, we were in the book of Revelation 1 week, and we were just reading through the Bible chapter by chapter, you know, and we got down to God talking about Babylon and Babylon being overthrown. And there was certain wording in there. It made me look twice. I didn't realize how much the Holy Spirit was helping me just using something out of Revelation. But he helped me look at the Revelation, those scriptures about Babylon. And this is what he brought up in my heart, that the people were trusting in Babylon as their source. Well, you know what? I was like, God, that's it. I got to know more about you being my source. Where do I even start? I mean, I know it's in here. I'm holding up the Bible. And it was just like how I began to look to him about trusting him to teach me about the blood covenant. I just couldn't see it. I know it's in there, but my eyes can't find it yet. I'm not, you know what I mean? Like, I'm not dialed into the right spectrum to see. Remember in the movie Predator, when he has to go through, he goes through infrared, he goes through a couple other, but he has different shades of the spectrum that he's looking through to find different things and follow people's tracks. Well, I wasn't on the right bandwidth, you know what I mean? Like, I couldn't see it yet. And so I said, God, where do I start? I mean, I know it's in here, but help me see it. And this is what he gave me all those years ago. And you know what? I am still using it and dining out on it. And after the last couple of weeks, I tell you what, I'm even more on it than I've ever been. And this is what he said to me. He said, every time you see the word God, G-O-D, in your study or by searching or by methodical study, you know, going chapter by chapter through a book, especially in the book of Psalms, he said this, you stop. And you translate God, G-O-D, as source. And see where that takes you. Now, the see where that takes you part, that was what it was implied to me. This is, I'm going to say it word for word, not add anything to it. He said, every place you see the word God, G-O-D, he said, you stop and you translate it as source. and the Bible opened up. I'm telling you what, it was like a theme park opened up just for me. All the lights went on, the rides went on, the music went on, the, you know, the balloons came out. I mean, it was there all along. I just couldn't see it. But how helpful was it? He's my source. So everywhere I see the name God, I need to stop and translate it as source. Well, this is one of the first things I began to look at was this in Deuteronomy chapter 5. Now we're in Joshua. Just go back a couple chapters. Go to Deuteronomy chapter 5. Now you can understand. I had never understood. I mean, I mentally could kind of go, yeah, I get it. Don't have any, you know, gods before you know, the Lord, and it's a loyalty thing, and I get that, and it's blood covenant, sure, you know, there's only, we're covenant partners, don't go and go somewhere else, but I had to see it in a different light. So look at this, Deuteronomy chapter 5, verse 6, I am the Lord. Now, you know how we've been translating that from Psalm 23, verse 1 in the Passion Translation. Think about this, I am your blood covenant best friend, thy source, which brought thee out of the land of Egypt and from the house of bondage. I've already been a source to you. I've brought you out. I was your source then, and I'm your source now. Can you hear what he's saying? Skip down to verse 7. He said, thou shalt have none other gods before me. Can you hear what also he's saying in that? You shall have no other sources but me. Now, does that sound, because we've heard it so much through our Western religiousized mind, that's my own word, I made it up, our own religiousized mind, that like, thou shalt have no other gods before me. You know, we hear it so sternly. Can you hear this? Don't have any other source but me. None of them are reliable. I've proven my trust to you. I brought you out. I gave you water. I gave you food. I kept you clothed. I kept you cool in the day and warm at night. I made sure you were fed. And he, many times throughout the Old Testament, God recounts through his messengers and through his prophets what he did. I brought you out on dry land. I delivered you from Egypt. I fed you with manna and with angel food. And I brought you the quail and opened the waters and gave you the fountain and water from the brook. Like, can you hear all that? He's reminding them, I'm your source. Look to me. Look to me. Don't have any other source but me. Now, here's why. I was dealing with this. I had some expenses come up that were unforeseen. And, you know, for me, they, for where I'm at this level that I'm at currently, temporarily, but because I'm going up, I am going up, and so are you. But they were sizable. And kind of unforeseen. You know, like, I wasn't expecting to have to pay for that. And, you know, I'm pushing, I'm believing the scriptures, and I'm pushing, I'm believing the scriptures. And but yet it just doesn't seem to be clicking. It doesn't seem to be. I seem to be getting more agitated and less peaceful. Now, we're not talking about faith as a subject per se tonight. But Romans chapter 15, verse 13 says that when we that have believed. Now, Hebrews chapter 4 says that we enter into rest. But that Romans 15 says that God fills us with all joy and peace in believing. What's a sure telltale indicator that you're in faith? You're full of joy. You have joy. Another one is that you're excited and that you're at peace. I like to sum it up like this. You just know it, man. You got it. Oh, you're resting. The battle's over. It's, you know, now before you see it or feel it or may even have it in your hands, you know you got it. You're good. I got this, man. Well, I had to decide. I said, and he helped me. God helped me. I said, sir, I'm pushing here. And I can see what I need to do. But one of the things was that there was things trying to come up in my mind as things to rely on to give me some relief. Like, well, you know, this could happen. This person could, you know, pay early for something, or this it could come from here. None of them were guaranteed. I've only got one source who's made a covenant with me, and that's him. You've only got one source that's made a blood covenant with you. I was years ago talking with a friend, and he said, "Man, I've been reading the." He wasn't saved yet, but he was about 45 minutes later after we talked about this. He said, "Man, I've been reading the Greek tragedies, you know, and about the Greek gods and things like that." And he said, "There's a lot of good information in there." I said, "Yeah, like, sure." He said, "Well, so what's the difference between that and the Bible?" And he went on and talked for a little bit. But as soon as he asked that, I said, "God, that's a good question." You know, I said, "What is the difference?" And I waited. I listened to the Holy Spirit for an answer down in my heart, in our inner radio, in our heart, in our spirit. And this is what came up. He said two words. He said, "Blood covenant." I got it. And when he said it, light came and I could see the answer for him. I said, "You know, there's only one person. There's only one deity that's made a covenant with you to promise himself to you, to make promises to you. All the other ones, you got to serve them for a maybe. Maybe, maybe not. And we know it's definitely not. But God, Elohim, Yahweh, Jehovah, our Abba Father and best friend, has said absolutely. He said, I will. And he swore it in blood. And the thing that he swore in blood was his oath of loyalty. I'm yours and you're mine forever. And if you believe it, you accept my hand of friendship and I make you my very best friend. Man, that's exciting. Well, he saw it. He's like, "Yeah, I don't, nobody else is making me that offer." And he became a believer. He went all in all the time with God right then and there. And we were in the car together. And God is saying, don't have any other source but me. Because if you have other things that could be your source, I don't mean, listen, you do what God's telling you to do. Because there has been times God's told me to stop doing certain work and leave certain places and, you know, things like that. But I mean this, we don't let our trust, we don't let our sense of rest and peace be in any other source but him. That's the decision to make. That's the decision to make. And he's saying, don't have any other gods before me. So when I had these expenses come up, you know, lots of thoughts about, well, if the money could come here and I can do this and that and the other. And all of those were my brain trying to give me some sense of relief from, you know, the pressure we were under. But they weren't my source. And God kept reminding me, he said, didn't you put your trust in me? I said, yes, sir, I did. He said, then you just look to me. I said, yes, sir, I will. And he also said this. Now, you can go back in some other messages previously, but hear this. He said, now I want you to act like that need is supplied. Now, he didn't tell me to go out and spend money I didn't have. He's talking about privately, in my own, behind closed doors. He's telling me, act like that need is supplied. Act like you've already got it. Well, how would I act if I had it? Whew. I take a deep sigh of relief, and I just say, thank you. I'd say, thank you, sir. I am so grateful. And that's what I began to do. The Bible says I'm getting a little ahead of myself, but you know what? I'm going to stop saying that too. Let's just say it as it comes from the Holy Spirit. In Psalms chapter 5 and verse 11, it says, let all those that put their trust in you rejoice. Well, what's rejoicing? It's a celebration. I'm acting like I've got it. Father, thank you. Of course, I can't see it or feel it yet, but I know I've got it because I've put my trust in him. My source has it all handled. So I do what the Bible tells me to do. Romans chapter 4, verse 17 says that God calls those things that be not, that aren't yet in this natural realm, as though they already were. Some to go about and act like, man, thank God my need is supplied. Father, thank you. Yeah, right? Staring need in the face. I'm not denying it exists. I know it exists. But I'm acting like he's telling the truth and that he will not fail me and he will not forsake me. Hallelujah. Oh, the peace. Oh, yeah, it was still there and every now and then try to tap on my brain. Remember, hey, yeah. But that inner excitement, oh, the relief, the rest, the knowing. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, it says, we are always confident knowing. That's chapter 5 and verse 6. I just knew it. I knew it. And I even had some promises of some people say, hey, we're going to send you some stuff. Now, I could have gone, oh, thank God, it's over. But he said, it's not here yet, is it, in your hands? I said, no. He said, and you just keep your eyes on me. I said, yes, sir, you're my source. Because my brain wanted to take my mind, our natural unrenewed mind wanted to take my sense of peace and relief off of God and put it on what men had said. Good people, but they're not my source. People are not your source. Parents are not your source. Jobs are not your source. Clients are not your source. No one owes us anything. God has voluntarily given us everything. He's our source. Amen. And I hear what people are saying. Listen, in the natural, in the world system, things are tough. But is it so tough that it's made our covenant not work? Absolutely not. In fact, God shines the brightest. His goodness is at its best when things are at their worst. Well, he said that my grace is sufficient for you. Oh, hallelujah. His grace is sufficient for you. Go, in fact, I sense that. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Go ahead and say it to yourself with me. Say, His grace is sufficient for me. Oh, isn't that wonderful? Not his grace in your job, his grace in the economy, his grace in a stimulus package or whatever. No, his grace, and that's it, is sufficient for me. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Well, he said that. Now, let's keep going and look at a little bit more in Deuteronomy chapter 5. He said, you shall not, verse 9, he said, thou shalt not bow down thyself unto them, nor serve them. For I, the Lord thy God, I, your best friend who is your source, am a jealous God. Does that mean he's mean and petty and emotional? No. That means he's saying, I've reserved the right to be your source for myself. Don't give my privilege away to somebody else. Let me be your source. He's also saying this from a sense of loyalty and a sense of love and commitment. Don't go over there to them as your source. They're not going to treat you as good as I do you. In fact, they're not going to treat you good at all. Let me be your source. Listen, we don't have to go any further. We've only been at it for about 20 plus minutes. No one else is making you this good a deal. Who else would you rather have be your source, other than the loving God who's made you his best friend in blood covenant forever? That's the one I want. Well, now our focus is coming in tighter and tighter. We're getting it just dialed in just perfect. Hallelujah. That where we only have him as our source. We only have him as our source. It's not only is it loyalty to God, and it is, but it's also uncontaminated trust. Jesus said this in Matthew chapter 6. He said, a man cannot serve two masters. A man cannot serve two masters. Let's say it like this. A man can't have two sources. Now, do you see it a little differently? In fact, Jesus said it like this. Let me read it to you. Yep, no man can serve two masters. This is Matthew 6:24. For either he will hate the one and love the other. Can you hear you're divided? It says, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. He'll look down on the other. He said, you cannot serve God, our source, and mammon. Now, is mammon evil money? No, you've got to have gone to church and been under somebody westernized and stupid to believe that. Mammon was an evil god of money. Mammon was a secular false god of money back then. And he's saying you can't have mammon be your source and God be your source at the same time. No, God is our one and only real source. Amen. Now, let me read this to you from verse 10, Deuteronomy 5:10. Says that he is showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. Love him. Hey, listen, I love my source. You can decide right now, God, you are my source and I love you. That settles that. Listen. Deuteronomy 6 and verse 13 says this, thou shalt fear the Lord thy God. Now, when he says fear, it doesn't mean, oh, I'm so terrified. It means I give him all my respect and reverence. When his name gets mentioned, ooh, I get quiet. When he talks, I listen. Listen, you know there's people in the earth that we respect, if we're being honest. If they walked into the room, oh, we could be grown men, grown women. Another adult that we respect comes in the room, oh, and they get all of our attention and all of our value and all of our respect. Well, that's fear. That's a holy fear. And let me use this word, a reverence. He said, you'll only revere the Lord thy God. You'll only revere your blood covenant best friend who is your source. And serve him and shall swear by his name. He said, you shall not, verses 14, this is verse 14 of chapter 6. You shall not go after other gods or the gods of the people round about you. For the Lord your God is a jealous God among you. He wants to be our source. And he knows he's the only one fit and capable and qualified to love you and be your source. So he's saying, don't give that privilege to somebody else who's going to treat you badly. I'm your source. And I'm in blood covenant with you. Hey, think about it. You've become blood covenant best friends with another person. And they've called you in blood covenant brother. Makes me think of Hebrews chapter 2, that Jesus is not ashamed to call us brother. Well, what if you went around and you heard your new blood covenant best friend talk about somebody else who they're not in blood covenant with, as though they were your best friend in blood covenant? Like, hey, you didn't get in a blood covenant with them. You're in a blood covenant with me. I get to do this. I get to be this for you. I get to do this for you. Can you see what we're saying? Don't go look for a false god, whether it be capitalism. And hey, thank God for a capitalistic system. But it's not my God. It's not my source. Don't go looking around for another source to make a covenant with. Turn your eyes to God. Decide that he's your best friend based upon what you've heard us talk about so many times already. And then make the decision, sir, you're my source once and for all. You're my source. You're my helper. You're where I get my, you're who I look to have my need be supplied. You're who I look to make sure that my family and I are fed and clothed and taken care of. Amen. Well, Isaiah chapter 30, I'm going to read this to you. Isaiah, it's back-to-back chapters in Isaiah chapter 30, verse 1, and Isaiah chapter 31 and verse 1. Isaiah the prophet says this to the children of Israel. He says, woe to the rebellious children, saith the Lord. This is his best friend talking. He said, that take counsel, but not of me. That cover with a covering, but not of my spirit. Look at verse 2. He says, that walk to go down into Egypt and have not asked at my mouth, to strengthen themselves in the strength of Pharaoh and to trust in the shadow of Egypt. Think about what's going on here. He's saying, woe to you. Not woe like I'm mad. He is upset. But he said, you've done things to yourself as a result of this. You could have come to me. I'd have covered you. I'd have taken care of you. I'd have protected you. I'd have given you wisdom to know how to fight your battles. Because listen, they had enemies coming against them. That's why they went. They didn't just decide, hey, let's go to Egypt. They got under pressure. And you and I both know people do silly things under pressure. Not just people. We do it. You and me. He said this in verse 3, he said, therefore shall the strength of Pharaoh be your shame, and the trust in the shadow of Egypt be your confusion. He said, you went and treated this strong nation that was a neighbor to you as a source. You know what that kind of sounds like? You went and treated a bank as your source. You treated next week's paycheck as your source. There's nothing wrong with the bank or the paycheck. They're tools, but they're not our God. They're not the being that we're in blood covenant with who's made us his best friend and has promised to take care of us with the same level of treatment that he treats Jesus, the grace of God, the grace of our source. Do you see that? Now, is this making sense? I believe it is. Make sure you write some of these things down, especially the things that stick out to you and that really, man, that seemed to just get me right there. Write it down. The 31st chapter of Isaiah. Woe to them that go down to Egypt. For what? For help. And stay on horses and trust in chariots because they are many, and in horsemen because they are very strong. But they look not unto the Holy One of Israel, and neither seek the Lord. Did you see that? They're going after things that look strong, that seem capable. But he's saying, they're not me. In fact, in verse 3, Isaiah 31:3, it says, now the Egyptians are men, but they're not God. And when he says God, listen, you got to know. He means, hallelujah. He means the Egyptians are men, but they are not our source. They are not your blood covenant source. Now, let's go back one chapter again. Isaiah 30:15. For thus saith the Lord, your best friend, your source, God, the Holy One of Israel, in returning and rest, you shall be saved. In quietness and confidence shall be your strength. But he said you would not. But look what he said is available. He said, come back to me as your source. Whew, and you'll find quietness and rest and strength and confidence. There is something so powerfully real in our spirits, in our eternal hearts, of knowing that God's our source. It gives us confidence. Hey, I know that there may be a lot of needs right now on the horizon and in my immediate life, but there's a knowing my source has got me taken care of. Amen. Nothing else can give us that confidence. No upturn in the Dow or in the stock market can give us that confidence, because it could be down tomorrow. The stock market is the literal embodiment of up one day and down the next. Now, we want it to be up because it helps people, but it's not a reliable source. Now, let's go over to the New Testament. We'll start looking at how we, the decisions that we need to make. You've heard plenty about, you know, the false sources, and you've heard enough to get you started, about trusting in the wrong sources. Let's look at what Jesus said. Listen, there was a push that came during his temptation in the wilderness. And I've heard people say, well, I don't believe he was really tempted. He was God. If he wasn't tempted, the Bible's lying. Because it said Satan came to tempt him. That's pretty plain. Being 40 days, verse 2, tempted of the devil. It wouldn't say he was tempted if he wasn't tempted. But now, listen. Oh, glory to God. Satan said this in verse 6. Actually, look at verse 5. And the devil, taking him up into a high mountain, showed him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. All of them. What did he show them? The wealth, the reach, the clout, the source. Things he could rely on. More than that, he's giving him a shortcut. He's tempting him. And look what Satan says. And the devil said unto him, all this power will I give thee, and the glory, or he means also the wealth of them. For that is delivered unto me, and to whomsoever I will give it. Now look what he says. Here's the catch. There's no generosity in this. There's a catch. You know it's a false source if there's a catch. God never has a catch. In fact, pause and write that down. You know it's a false source. There is always a catch. Hallelujah. Now listen. Look at what the catch is, verse 7. If thou therefore will worship me, all will be yours. There's a push from Satan to not only Jesus himself here, but those of us in his body, the body of Christ, the body of the anointed, to bend our knee to him, Satan, as our source, and not trust God. But Jesus had his number. He said in the book of John, he said, he's a liar and a murderer. He's a liar from the beginning. Satan wants us to rely on debt and on commerce and on luck and on loans and on other people. Anything he can get us to put our sense of trust and our sense of stability in other than God. Why? Because he has control over all those other things. He wants us to put our trust in as a source, anything that he can control. Because if your trust is in something he can control you. If your trust is in the economy, he can control you. If your trust is in a prime interest, he can control you. If his trust is in debt and in loans and credit card and things like that and needing to get a loan, he can control you. But if your trust is in God as your source, this is why he's fighting to pressure you so much. He can't control you. Someone can say, well, we'll take all this away and you won't have, and this will be over. Fine, take it. God's my source. He'll bring me back stronger and better and twice as much like he did Job. Hallelujah. But look at what Jesus says to him. Hallelujah. And listen, this is how we begin to jump off into the final leg here of tonight. This is what Jesus said. He said, get thee behind me, Satan, in verse 8. For it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God. You shall put all of your heart and all of your celebration and all of your value and appreciation into your blood covenant best friend who is your source. And then he says this, and him only will you serve, will you follow, will you look to. Him only. Now key in on those two words. Him only. God is our only source. That's not to take anything away from you. That's to give you liberty and freedom from being controlled by anything else. And to give you a perfect sense of peace that God's taking care of you. Now, we must decide, and we do, not just must, I don't want to put that like it's a pressure or a mandate on you, even though it is. We decide for ourselves that God, our best friend, is our source. And that he and he alone gets all our heart and all our trust. He and he alone gets all of our heart and all of our trust. But we decide that each of us for ourselves. Amen. Now, let's look at the original as we got a little bit of ground to cover, but I think we can make it. Genesis chapter 17 and verse 1. This is the prototype, the precedent, if you will. This is God doing something for the first time with a man. And that man responding. Genesis 17 and verse 1. When Abram was 90 years old and nine, the Lord appeared unto Abram and said unto him, I am the Almighty God. I am the all-sufficient source. Translate that word God again. I am the all-sufficient source. Hey, he ain't lying. He is the all-sufficient source. We decide that for ourselves. Lord, I believe you. I trust you. I decide that you are the all-sufficient source. And he said, walk before me and be thou perfect. Now, did he mean never make a mistake or I can't walk with you? When he means perfect, he means wholehearted. No divided loyalties. It's him and him alone. I was thinking about this one time, and this was a real, this was a paradigm shift for me. This really changed a lot of things. I said, God, they didn't talk like in the King James English back then. Help me hear this in a way that I can understand it. And right down in my heart, I heard the Lord say this, and this is what he gave me all these years ago. He said, live under my, this is the way he was interpreting the scripture of what he said to Abraham from the King James English, but into my heart, that I could understand. He said, live under my sight and under my care, and look to me and me alone for everything. Oh, I got it. Anything I want or need, I get it from him. I put my care in his hands, and I look to him for everything. Wisdom, answers, friendship, companionship, I'm looking to him. He's my source. He gets all my loyalty. He's already made up his mind to be my source. I'm making up my mind that he is my source. You see what I'm saying? He said in verse 2, he said, I will make my covenant between me and thee, and I'll multiply you exceedingly. Well, hey, that's great. That's Abraham. But look what he says on down here in verse 4. Oh, excuse me. Verse 7, excuse me. He said, and I will establish my covenant between me and thee. And he says, and thy seed after thee in their generations. Galatians chapter 3, we've been made the seed of Abraham. If ye be Christ's, then are ye Abraham's seed and heirs, according to the promise. What are we heirs of? Of God being our source. Of him treating us like he treated Abraham, and him treating us like he treats Jesus. Isn't that good? Look what he says. I will establish my covenant between me and thee and thy seed after thee in their generations for an everlasting covenant. So this is going to keep going. To be a source unto you and to your seed after you. Oh, Abraham's source is your source. Abraham's source is my source. Isn't that wonderful, man? Come on. That's exciting. Isaiah 26:3. Now, this is where we begin to take steps to make him our source. And when I say make him our source, we're not making God into something that he's not. Because you're not going to force God to do anything. When I say make him, I mean that we are deciding that we take for ourselves him as our source. And he says this in Isaiah 26:3. He said, you will keep him, the believer, the truster, in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on you because he trusts in you. Then he says this in verse 4, trust you in the Lord Jehovah, trust you in your best friend forever, for in the Lord Jehovah is everlasting strength. Now, he doesn't particularly use the word God here, you know, that we've been translating as source, but it's the same person. We are trusting our best friend as our source. And he said, keep your mind on him. Well, how do I do that? All day long, out loud, I say out loud, and I remind myself that he's my source. I remind myself that you're my source, and you're taking care of me, and I am so well taken care of. I'm acting like it's all already here and in reality and everything is taken care of before I even see it or feel it. I'm acting like he's my source. Hey, listen, we're in Isaiah. Flip back a few pages. Actually, you know what? Just hear it. Just hear it. Just write it down. I don't want to make you turn for the sake of time. Psalm 91. Listen to this. Listen to this. Glory to God. I didn't even write this down in my notes. I was reading this earlier just for myself. He that dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Now, look at verse 2. I will say of the Lord. What's he doing? He is professing. He is declaring. He is making a statement of confident faith. And he is keeping his mind on him. He says, I will say of the Lord. I will say of my blood covenant best friend that he is my refuge. He is my fortress, my God. He is my source. Now, this is the kicker. This is the kicker. This is the kicker. What do I mean by that? This is the clincher. This is the root of it all. This is the step you take to decide that God's your source. And listen, not just for your whole life, right here and now with that rent payment coming up. Right here and now with that bill payment coming up. Right here and now with that unforeseen expense that popped up. He said, in him will I trust. That's a decision. That's not an accident. We don't just fall out of a boat and accidentally hit faith. I don't know how I got here, but I'm trusting God. No, he said, I will. That means that we use our will to decide that I trust God. He said, I will trust in him. My God, in him will I trust. So that means right now, in the middle of fear and anxiety about how you're going to pay these things and how are you going to have a good Christmas and how are you going to have enough, you haul off and right in the face of fear and shortage and famine and anxiety, you say, he is my source and in him will I trust. In fact, say it to him personally. I was outside the house. I was in the middle of the gym at about 11:30 at night, and I was having some financial pressure try to get to me. And that pressure, I just kept trading punches with it. I'd hit it, and it'd hit me. I'd hit it, and it'd hit me. And God said, it's time for you to rest. And I was listening to the word being preached, and I suddenly, the Lord helped me know what to do. I hit pause on my earbuds, and I just said, sir, I decide that I trust you. It wasn't fancy. It wasn't churchy. It wasn't some elaborate statement. But I meant it. And I can tell you, it instantly changed everything. Did anything on the in the external happen? Not immediately. But inside, everything was different. I began to rest. I began to laugh. There was joy. What's going on? I know it's over. My trust is in him. I'm not pulling it from God and putting it into what I see, and I'm not pulling it from what I see and putting it into God. That's called wavering. I decided I trust him, this person, my source. I've decided I trust you. You've got this. And I'm taking care of from this point forward. Glory to God. Now, thank you, God. I was just thinking about taking you somewhere else when we said all that. Let's go over to Philippians chapter 4 and verse 19. Because we're running short on time. Philippians 4. Look at this. Remember, wherever you see the word God translated as source, he said, but my source shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. But my source shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Thank God. Isn't that wonderful? Isn't God good to us? He said, but my God shall supply. Man, I'm so excited about this. But my God shall supply. Listen, our source has already made up his mind that he'll supply you and me. And he does it by his riches and glory. He does it by his assets, not ours. I want you to hear this, Deuteronomy chapter 7. Now make a note of it, because this is an important key scripture. For the sake of time, I'm not going to make you run over there right now, but it is crucial. Write it down, and if you have to, if you listen to this by recording later, pause this and look this up and think about it. Deuteronomy 7, verse 9, he says, "Know therefore that the Lord, our best friend, glory to God, your source, he is the source, the faithful source, which keeps covenant and mercy. He keeps what he's sworn in blood, and he keeps the love that he's promised to them that love him and keep his commandments to 1,000 generations." He's the faithful God. Listen, our source cannot lie. That's Hebrews 6. And he cannot fail. He said, "I will not fail you nor forsake you." Joshua 1:5. I'm thinking about Psalm 89:34. He said, "My covenant will I not break, nor will I alter the thing that has gone out of my lips. My covenant, I will not break it, nor alter the thing that has gone out of my lips." That's someone who is reliable. That's the words of our almighty source. He's reliable. And man, I'm excited about it. How about you? Now, quickly, how do we take the steps to allow him to be our source? Jeremiah chapter 17. Just write it down. Jeremiah 17 says this, verse 5. "Thus saith the Lord, our best friend, cursed be the man that trusts in man and makes flesh his arm, and whose heart departs from the Lord." Well, he said very quickly and very straightforward, we're relying on anything but God in this verse. But verse 7, look at this. Verse 7, Jeremiah 17, 7. "Blessed is the man that trusts in the Lord, and whose hope, whose expectation, whose excitement." He's excited about something happening, and he knows God's doing it. That's hope. It says that he shall be like a tree planted by the waters that spreads out her roots by the river and will not see when heat, that means, you know, famine, drought comes. He said, "But that tree's leaf shall be green, and will not be careful or fearful in the year of drought." We don't have to be careful in a year of shortage. Why? Because our trust isn't in that system. Our trust is in God, our best friend, as our source. Amen. Now, real quick, Mark chapter 11. Verse 22, Jesus answering saith unto them, "Have faith in your source." Have faith in God. Well, he's telling us very plainly, you make the decision that not only is he your source, that's good, but that you trust him. So you are my source, and I put my trust in you. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, man, come on. Proverbs chapter 3. Proverbs 3 says this. Verse 5. "Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not unto your own understanding." Man, I couldn't figure out how to do this for years. Trust in, do I just read the scriptures enough and I'll be trusting him? Read books about faith long enough? I didn't know it was a choice. I didn't know I could have flipped the safety off and pulled the trigger at any time that I wanted to. Faith is a decision. Putting our trust in God. He said, "I will trust in him." That's our choice. Genesis 15:6, that the book of Romans in chapter 4 references, Abraham believed God. It was a choice. God told him something that he would do for him, and Abraham believed what God told him by choice. Listen, you can haul off right in the middle of a bad fourth quarter. You can haul off right in the middle of being behind and being in debt and having lots of things you need to get done. Say, "Sir, I decide that you're my source. And just like Psalm 91 told me, I trust in you. I put my trust in you. Amen. Listen, faith does not have to be elaborate to work. You don't have to have some elaborate faith equation. It just needs to be totally in the right person and source. In fact, faith works its best when it's simple and sincere and from the heart. Sir, I just trust you. I was saying bunches. That's good English. I was saying a bunch of faith things, but I hadn't made that unqualified committal yet. I hadn't made that quality decision and no turning back from it. And I just stood. I was right in front of the squat rack at my gym and stepped back and just said, sir, I decide that I trust you. And that was it. But it worked. Now, I know you're not me, and you don't need to say exactly what I said, but it needs to be your decision from your heart. But that's how you do it. And it's just that simple. And then guess what? Your source goes to work to be your source. Isn't that powerful? Listen, let me read you just a few more things. But we're closing. This is the last verse. Jeremiah chapter 32. Now write it down. Jeremiah 32, verse 17. Oh, man. He said, ah, Lord God, behold, you have made the heaven and the earth by your great power and stretched out arm. And there's nothing too hard for you. Who did he say did that? Oh, Lord, our best friend in blood covenant, our source. You've made the heaven and the earth by your great power and outstretched arm, and there is nothing too hard for you. He says in the end of verse 18, he says, you are the great and mighty God. You are the great and mighty, mighty source. The Lord of hosts is his name. Glory to God. Verse 26, the same chapter, different verse. Jeremiah 32, 26 says, then came the word of the Lord unto Jeremiah, saying, behold, I am the Lord. I am your blood covenant best friend, the source of all flesh, the God of all flesh. He said, is there anything too hard for me? Is there anything too hard for me? Who's asking that question? Our source is. How do we let him be a source to us? That's the big question. We decide that he is our source, and we decide that we trust him. And that's it. It's just that simple. It has to be simple so it can work under all circumstances. You can't think of 18 steps to take to make God your source. But you can remember that, oh yeah, he is my source. And sir, I decide I trust you. Oh, amen. Remember, Mark chapter 11, verse 22. What did Jesus say to us? He said, have faith in your source. He's our safe source. He's our reliable source. He's the source that won't fail us, won't lie to us, and won't let us down. He's coming through for us. And I'm so excited about it. I'm excited that you're getting to know your source and that you are deciding to put your trust in your source. Listen, we've already told you how to do it. And it's just that simple. Break out your problem or write it down or whatever however you want to address it before the Lord. But make the decision, sir, I decide that you're my source and you're my source in this problem. And I decide that I trust you. And then once you've put your trust in him, you act like he's got it taken care of. Before you see it or before you feel it. Amen. Hallelujah. He's our safe source. Man, he's good to us. Listen, just stop for a moment and just thank him out loud out of your own mouth. Father, thank you so much for being our source. You are reliable. You are faithful. You are good. You cannot lie. You will never let us down. You will never fail us. And you are my source. And I trust in you. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Isn't he good? Hallelujah.